I don't know. Maybe you want it all. Psalm 137. We'll read a portion of this. And this was a message I tried to preach a while back, and talking with some of the brethren last night, it was impressed upon me again. You know, we are ambassadors. That means we're not at home. Where an ambassador is not his home. We ought to be looking for that city like Abraham was, whose builder and maker is God. But while we're here, we're not at home. And when we're not at home, there's a certain amount of sorrow that goes with that, isn't there? Well, here as we read about the nation of Israel, we see they were in a place that was not their home. Look with me in the 137th Psalm. The Lord's Word says, "By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Our Father, this morning we have assembled together. We trust that You might be worshipped in spirit and truth. We trust, Father, we are here to uplift the name of Your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His work for us. Father, we do thank You that our salvation rests not in our feeble efforts, but in His finished work and His power. We thank You so much for allowing us to be here and for fellowshipping with this assembly that You placed here. Father, they're precious to us, and we thank You for them. As You bless them, bless their pastor as he ministers to them, and pray that You would be with the sick that are among them this morning, maybe even among us here. We thank You, Father, that You have used them to teach us, that You've used them to encourage us, that You've used them to even, Father, as it were, rebuke and correct us. And we just pray that we might be an encouragement to them today, according to Your will and Your grace. I ask You to forgive my sins in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I'm glad Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said those things that were written of old time were written for our ensamples. We ought to have known that, but if we don't, there's that word for us, because these things that were written for Israel have application to us. Israel found herself in a foreign land. And it is true, and we know it's true that God delivered them, didn't He, from Egypt with a mighty hand. And many precious promises that He made to that nation. But a lot of those promises were contingent upon their faithfulness. If you would turn with me back to Leviticus, and we'll just read a couple of verses here in Leviticus chapter 18. A lot of those promises that He made were contingent upon their obedience. Excuse me, Leviticus chapter 26. I'd say I can't read my own writing, but I've typed this. Leviticus 26. And we'll break into a context here, but for time's sake we'll do that. Verse 18, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me," He said, "then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you, according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate." You know, if we really want to be set back on our heels, we continue reading there, because it doesn't get any better. And we can learn from the recorded word and from history itself that Israel did not live up to their end of the bargain. And they began to emulate The people that they were supposed to wipe out. I appreciate the brother's remarks last night. Sometimes we might appear to the world to be heartless and that we serve a heartless God. It might look like that to the flesh. They were supposed to drive them out of the land. They began to worship the gods that they served, the Dagon and Ashtaroth and Baal, and the Lord judged them because He cannot lie. Israel was finally taken captive, you know. And their enemy had them. Now, those that hated them had the rule over them. You know, is there any worse place to be than that? Here's why they found themselves in a strange land. They were disobedient to His word. What might have been pleasant, I don't know what the Euphrates River or wherever they were, I don't know what it looks like, I don't know what it looked like then, might have been, if they were tourists, it might have been a pretty nice looking place. If they had just been visitors, they might have been able to say, well, look at the beauty of the world the Lord's made. But you know, they weren't there because they wanted to be. It became a bitter pill for them to swallow. They were there because they had to be there. And you know something about having to do something. Doesn't that just rub us the wrong way? And there they sat down. Isn't that what the poet said? There, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. You know, as I read this, I picture them. You know, I just don't feel like I can go any further. And they sat down and began to weep. Discouragement is harsh. Beloved, if you've never been discouraged, you're one of His. If you've never been discouraged, well, get set. It's coming. It must come. That old hymn writer, you know, he said, send grief and pain. Let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. You know, the flesh reads that and says, I don't want any grief or pain. You know, we don't. Discouragement. Couldn't go on. Not one more step. You know, not one more round, brother. And they began to weep, but you know, the memory of that cruel siege, and you can go back in their history and read the awful things. Things that when we read them, we think, surely we are depraved. What Israel did, what the Lord's people did, in order to survive, proves, as if He needed proving, that the Lord knows what He's talking about when He says you're depraved from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. They didn't weep when they thought about that. They didn't weep when they thought about the armies and the cruelties they no doubt saw. But they did weep when they remembered Zion. And they wept when they considered the sins of disobedience that had brought them to that place. Amen. And what had been so important to them back in the land at one time, you know, those things that seem to be so important to us, maybe, that have nothing at all to do with Him or His service. Those things that seem to crop up, maybe take us unawares. Those things were not important anymore as they sat there and wept. And what they had once wanted so badly that they forsook God for began to be despicable to them. Oh, if the Lord would give us that. No doubt they could have wished that they would go back in time. You know, we can't do that, much as we might want to. There's been some things in my life I'd like to live over again. And maybe act a different way, you know. But you can't do that. Undo their deeds, oh, it can't be unsaid, can't be undone. But thank God it can be forgiven. Don't you think David wished maybe, you know, when he heard Nathan say, "Thou art the man," that he wished he could go back. Say, "Lord, I wish I'd have been with my army instead of where I was." But you know, they had lightly esteemed Zion, I guess. And now they found themselves in Babylon, the very seat of idolatry. It was as though the Lord had said, "You want to worship false gods? Well, here you go. Here's the very center of it." Oh, we need to be careful what we wish for. I mean, that's cliche, but it's true. You know, they knew as they walked along being mocked by their enemies, they knew that they were not home. You know, they might have looked around themselves and said, "You know what, brothers, we don't belong here. We don't belong here. This is a strange land." Where did they belong? Well, they belonged with Him, didn't they? They belonged serving Him. They belonged meeting together in Zion, learning about Him, working together, serving Him. You know, we belong in Zion together, don't we? Oh, there ought to be a sense, if you're quickened today by His Spirit and that you've experienced the new birth, there's a sense that's where you belong. And if we are kept out of Zion for one reason or another, it's troubling to us. If you've never read where David panteth after the Lord like the hart panteth for the water brooks, then I wonder about you if you've never felt that the desire to be with the Lord's people in the place of service. You got to wonder, have you experienced that thing called the new birth? Now, as to Israel and the Jews, there can be no doubt where Zion was. No doubt. The whole world knew Zion was in Jerusalem. His holy hill, isn't that what He called it? He told Moses, "I'm going to pick a spot. I'm going to put my name there." Well, He did that. And He said, "When you worship Me, you come together. Here's where you meet. You meet here. I'll meet with you between the cherubim as your high priest comes in and ministers. I'll meet with you there." When worship was offered up according to His word, it was in Zion. Yeah, I know some of them set up an altar and said, "It's too much to go down there. Just go ahead and worship here at Bethel or Dan, you know, worship in the neighborhood." But the Lord never did recognize those two false altars. "You want to worship Me? You come to Zion," He said. "That's where I'll meet with you." Oh, there shouldn't be anything more precious to us than to meet with our God. What we get as we meet together, we get nowhere else in this world. For me, we still have, there's a Zion today for us. There's a Zion. He said, "Unto Him be glory." Not general, at large. He made it specific, did He not? He said, "Unto Him be glory in the church." The assembly is the place where worship to Him is offered up. He said, "There are two or three, I'm so glad. You cannot have an assembly smaller than two." And brother, sometimes at home we push that. But we try to worship Him anyway. Aren't you glad He's not as concerned with numbers as we are? The assembly is the place where offerings, we offer up worship. It's no longer a building made with hands. You know, when He said, "You destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days." They said, "It's been 46 years in the building. How are you going to do that?" But does He not refer to His assembly as His body? It's no longer a building made with hands, but it is a collection of His saints bound together by conviction, by love for Him, and by love for one another. And there ought to be no place we'd rather be. But Israel was not in Zion. when this man wrote this? They were in a foreign land. And they knew it. He said, on the banks, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. And those that hated them began to torment them. Sing us a song, they said, of Zion. Sing us one of your songs. Can you just kind of picture the pride that might have been going through their hearts? Your God's not so much, is He? You know, people tell us that. He created all things, and look, we were able to come in and spoil His temple and spoil you and take you captive. Why, we're stronger than He is. Child of God, understand this. If they hated your Savior, they're going to hate you too. It may be personal, it may not be personal, but if you make a stand for Him, they're going to hate you. Somebody's going to hate you. What the psalmist say? The reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. You know, the world, I'm sorry to say, gets great satisfaction seeing the child of God fail. And shame on us sometimes, I think, the children of God sometimes, if we're honest sometimes, that we see that in our flesh. You know, the world knows that there has a difference been made. Who maketh thee to differ? And what have you that you didn't receive? God has made you to differ, and the world ought to be able to see that. And there is a reproach of Christ that goes with the territory of the child of God. There is. Moses knew it. One day, he got up from that throne in Egypt and he never went back there because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasuries of Egypt. The world does not understand the morality of the cross. They cannot understand because they are dead and trespassing in sins just like we were. They cannot see the biblical doctrines that concern sin and salvation and service. But you know what they can see, and you know what they do see? They see your faults. And beloved, we do have them. And you know, the mind of flesh gets around that, and it doesn't make sense. Especially when you've got some out there that say, well, I don't ever sin anymore. They know you're lying. If we say we have no sin, what are we? Brother Carter, you say, a liar he is. That's the way it's put. That old wicked prophet was hired to curse the Lord's people. You remember him, don't you? And he came and all he did was bless them. Every time he opened his mouth to curse them, he spoke a blessing for them. Because God's people can't be cursed. Who is he that justifieth? God. God justifieth. Who's bigger than him? Oh, they do see our faults. The error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. Scripture speaks of all of those things. You know, I think about the times that we read in Israel's history where there was joy overflowing, you know. That queen came from the south and she said, oh, I've heard about it. But the half hadn't been told me. And that was just a picture of what we look forward to in the kingdom made without hands. They carried with them their instruments of music. I'm a bit jealous of those that have that gift. I don't have that gift at all. And those that were tormenting them said, "Hey, why don't you play us a song? Sing us one of those songs of Zion." And their hearts burned in them. And they took that instrument that had been used in the sweet service of God and they hung it on a tree. We're putting up our joy for a season. Once those harps had sung His praises, but they weren't home anymore. Is that pearls before swine? I don't know. They couldn't sing. Couldn't sing. You ever been there, brother, sister? You ever been there? Their joy had been suspended, as it were, for a while. As much suspended as that harp was on that tree. Why? Well, we know. We know why. You know, sin, and I'm more guilty than anybody, but sin is an awful thing. I don't always see it as an awful thing that it is. It is an awful thing. It's polluted the stars. How awful is it? It's polluted the stars. How is that possible? We've ruined everything by our sin. You weren't there, brother. Yes, I was. I was there at Adam, my father. I was there. If I'd have been there in person, I'd have pushed him out of the way to get to that fruit. And sin will give you pleasure, it says. Doesn't it say that? But it's temporary. For a season. But it'll do something else. It'll rob you of joy. Thou art the man, the king heard. Well, you think about who we're talking about, the sweet psalmist of Israel. A man after God's own heart. What a thing to have said about you. And he saw that woman, he lusted after her. And he sinned. Yes, against Bathsheba. Yes, against Uriah. Yes, against people. But no, most of all, he sinned against God. He'd wronged them, but he sinned against God. What went through his mind, what went through his heart when that prophet said, "Thou art the man"? Oh no. Woe is me. I am undone. And maybe he went to his place and tried to pray, but you ever been there where you went to your place and pray and it was just the ceiling was brass? We wonder sometimes, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my roaring? Sin will rob us of joy. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." See, on rob us of that joy. You know, as I was preparing, trying to prepare this message, I thought about them. I thought about them as they hung their harps there in the willow trees. And I wondered, what was heaven like in His absence? Do you suppose there just was a big hole in heaven where He had been? I don't know. I don't know. But there was a day, a specific day, a specific time, a specific hour, where the one that Isaiah saw high and lifted up, whose train filled the temple, he got up from that. And he laid aside all of that glory. And he put on a robe of flesh. Was there a hole in heaven then? As he sojourned among men for some 33 years? I don't know, but I know he said, "Father, restore unto me the glory. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, he was daily the delight of his father. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. You probably already knew where I was going with that. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll begin reading with verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth, there I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight. Rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. One day the Lord looked down from heaven and beheld His Son and said, "Hear ye Him, I'm well pleased with Him." You know, if He was well pleased with Him, He can never be well pleased with me, because I'm not like Him. I'm finite. I'm a sinner. I was conceived in iniquity. Not so Him. Daily His delight. But He got up from there to come down and condescend to come down to a world that, first of all, did not know Him. And second of all, did not want Him. But third of all, needs Him more than they need their next breath. Needs Him. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There ought to be a sense of where we belong. If we're His today. You know, if He's given us ears to hear, as we read through the book of Revelation, those messages to the churches, the thing that is repeated time and again, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You know, beloved, we can't give you ears to hear. We can't give ourselves ears to hear. But some have ears to hear. There ought to be a sense of where we belong if we're His. I know the brother mentioned it last night, and I've been thinking about this of late. I read an article in one of the Baptist papers. You know, a difference that God makes among His children and even among His churches. He took those three with Him. He said, the rest of them, you wait here. I don't understand that. But I know it happened. I don't know what it means in the long run. But what a thing they saw when they saw Him begin to shine with the glory of the next world. The other nine got no such privilege. And I don't read any condemnation for them either. You don't belong with me. You don't belong with these other three. No, that's not it. You stay here. These three are going on with me a little further. I don't know. But I know this. If we're His, we belong with Him. If He's given you ears to hear concerning the doctrine of the New Testament church, this is where you belong. This is your home. We all ought to have a church home. Sometimes, to our shame, we may, for a time, say, "Well, you know, I've been hurt there. I'm not going back there. I've wounded. I'm not going back there." But if you've got ears to hear, you know what? You'll find yourself back there, wanting to go back. Because what you get here, you can't get anywhere else. It feeds that part of you that's not of you. Because nothing you came from your mother and dad with is fit to live with Him.
Oh, but that new nature, that spirit that dwells in you hungers for this. But you know what? The downside of that, the negative of that is, you know, if you're not His, you know, if you're not His, you'll not have that. And you'll be able to say, I'm going out from them. You know why? Because I'm not of them. I've seen that. Have you seen that, beloved? You've seen men and women move to tears and walk the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and even maybe follow in the waters of obedience. And for a time they stay, but you know what? That was 4 or 5 years ago. I've seen them. Seen it. Let's not miss the fact that were it not for His grace, we'd be right there with them. If indeed they are not His. I was thinking the other day, Nicodemus came to see Him and he said, you must be born again. You know, I don't know if we've gotten so used to those two words together, we just kind of don't even think about what that means. What if He just said, you've got to be born. You have power to be born the first time, then you've got power to be born the second time, don't you? Oh, it's in His hands. It's thy salvation. It's His. Oh, if we're not His, we'll be right there at home and on the Euphrates and Babylon. It won't be anything different to us. And if we've not been given ears to hear, we can go down the road and maybe hear, God loves everybody. He wants to save everybody. You just won't let Him. You know, we'll be right at home with that. But know this, child of God. And I mentioned it to Brother Rick last night. If He's a man of sorrows and if we're like Paul and we want to know Him, you know, whatever it costs, I want to know Him. I want to know the joy, but also the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him that well. And we can be like old Peter said, the trial of my faith is more precious than gold. Ah, my flesh don't believe that. But that quickened part of me does, and nobody wants tribulation and trouble more than I do, but beloved, we need it. Co-worker of my son's lost man, his wife miscarried recently. And he was torn up about it. And my son commiserated with him. And you know, he was able to do that because Mary Beth had lost 2 children. Sorrow's a part of it. But may it not discourage us. May it chase us to Him. May we be like David and encourage ourselves in our God, if He is our God in fact. May the Lord add to the reading of His Word His blessing. Brother Wayne.